Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we're watching episode 595 of Power Rangers, Mystic Force episode 23, Heir Apparent Part 2.
It aired August 11th, 2006, written by Jackie Marchand and directed by Jonathan Brough.
A GH is the most deceptive letter combination in the English language.
It's very versatile in its pronunciation.
Yeah. It's the great pretender of letter combos, because it could be anything.
Jake, I had two jokes I wanted to make, but I couldn't make one of them because I didn't start the episode.
Okay. Do you want to do a do-over and then
I'm gonna explain the jokes instead of telling them.
Okay, yeah, everyone loves that.
I think they'll still be funny.
Sure, yeah.
And I was gonna change my Twitter name, but I wanted to talk about it first with you on here.
Okay.
First I was gonna say welcome to Amorphin Grid, because that was very funny.
Yes. I think the idea is very good, but it's never anything. That's something someone thought of when they were putting together some back material for Zio, the comic book.
Yeah. The other one is I found out the other day via TikTok, so maybe not true, but I think it's researchable. I just didn't look it up.
Sure, yeah.
Topher Grace's real first name is Christopher.
Yeah, yeah.
But he goes by the back half.
Yeah.
So I was going to introduce myself as Shua.
Shua.
but I decided against it at the last minute.
I'm Cobb. What's up?
Welcome to Amorphin Grid with Shua and Cobb.
Better or worse than Danger Baby and Mr. Safety present Naruto?
I think it's worse.
Which is
Danger Baby and Mr. Safety's pretty peak, I think.
Pretty good one. That was a Lost Galaxy episode, I think. Pretty sure. I don't know why I was Danger Baby, and then you said you were Mr. Safety in retaliation to me being Danger Baby, and that's the best possible outcome of that situation.
So anyway, my display name on Twitter is probably going to be Shua by the time anyone is listening to this.
Okay. What are you changing your display name, not
just
your
the display
actual
name? I can't think of a good Twitter handle, man.
I picked mine back in 2009 when I was in this. Is I don't know if I've ever talked about this. I had a weird Twitter class.
You've told me about this back when I was like first getting onto Twitter. I would ask you stuff because you were like, I took a Twitter class.
I took a Twitter. So in Full Sail, the college that I went to, there were two units of grade measurement. There was your GPA, which was your actual grades. And then there was your GPS, which was your like global professionalism.
Is your fake grades?
Is your fake grade? It was basically like Full Sail is allegedly about like you get real hands on experience, and then so you can get a job. And part of that is like knowing how to conduct yourself in like on a set or in a studio or wherever, right? And so you would have GPS, and you could artificially enhance it but they had like GPS events, and one of them was
this sounds like a government tracking conspiracy to me. they gave all the Full Sail students GPS.
They gave us GPSs, and
so they know where you are now.
They
know that anyway. They also are listening to us right now. Yeah. They get the raw edit.
Shannon and I were talking about something and like out loud, because that's how you talk, and they didn't hear her half of it because she was on the computer, and my phone heard me say something, because then I got like an ad for it the next day, and I was like, I've never looked this up, I've never typed it in, this is just a thing you heard me say. But so I took a Twitter, it wasn't mandatory, but like I wanted a couple extra points for whatever reason. So I went to it, and so I took a Twitter class.
If you can, Jay, we were just talking about grinding points before we started recording.
This is when I was a younger man, though.
If you can get the points, Jake, you got to take the points.
You got to take the points, or else you're going to be 32 and you're mostly statted out for skateboarding, but your knee's bad and your back hurts.
I worked yesterday at my job that I've had for a couple of years. My Achilles tendons hurt all the time, and I almost couldn't walk today.
You got to stretch them out.
How do you stretch those? What do I do?
So go to like your counter and put your hands on the counter, and it also stretches your calves. So you'll feel it more in your calf than your Achilles, but have your heels flat on the ground and like do a push up like down into the counter. So you just, your heels don't move, but you are stretching out. You'll feel it in your calves, and it also helps out your Achilles.
Because boy, All I did was like the same job I always do.
Yeah, and just sometimes it hurts more.
Today was my body was just like, buddy, you gotta figure something else out. this isn't working for me anymore.
I have all of the ligaments in my legs are shorter than they should be, because I'm like a regular sized person that they squished down about 7 inches.
They forgot to hold shift when they scaled you down.
Yeah, and so I just have these tiny compact legs, but they're very muscular, but all the ligaments are prone to locking up on themselves. If you're new here, I can't imagine you're still here.
Welcome to Two Old Men Talk About a Children's Show.
Yep, a show for babies. If you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording. We go watch an episode of Power Rangers. We come back, we talk about it. You can follow along if you got the DVDs. And we're almost done with disc 3, so you got to get it soon. You got to, if you want to get in on this. And Netflix, I know we said it last time, but Netflix, it looks like they're taking a nose. I think Blockbuster's about to buy Netflix.
Oh, could you imagine?
There was a time when Netflix like first started that they were like, hey, Blockbuster, do you want to buy us? And they were like, that'll never work. We're going to rentals forever till we die. And then they died like the next year.
Could you imagine if it was just like, oh, the Blockbuster hubris. Now instead of Netflix?
I would love it. I would with glee, because then there'd be some nostalgia Blockbusters popping up all over the place, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then I could go rent a video again, a thing that is that is physically worse than just going to a streaming site and saying I want to watch this, but emotionally so much more satisfying.
I was talking to Latasha about jobs the other day.
Yeah.
And about how I don't think any job will be fulfilling to me because I just don't want to leave the house.
Yeah, I get it.
So I wish I could do, like, I don't know. I wish I could just have some kind of, like, home business that I just, like, make and ship stuff. But I have no idea what the stuff would be.
I don't know.
But she said her, like, dream job ever since she was a kid would be to, like, own a video rental store. And I was like, oh, honey, I'm so sorry.
That, see, you say that, but you live in a small enough part of the country that I feel like there could be a market, you know?
I think there's a market for it, but I don't think it's here.
Oh, maybe. Because I feel like, it would have to be a very specific kind of, because, like, Austin had a video rental store, and, like, they might still have a video rental store. We Heart Video might still be open.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like since where you live in Kentucky is mostly hillbillies, like they gotta remember renting stuff, right?
It would be so much easier.
Yeah.
Because you can do, oh, that would be our tagline. Be like, no computer required.
Yeah, you don't need a computer. Just come on in. Get yourself a video.
We'll have member cards. Every 10 rentals, you get one free.
Yeah.
No computers. Old people will love it.
They hate it when computers are.
Yeah.
Just in general.
You better leave your phone in the car when you come into this store because you don't need it in here.
Talk to a real person like it's 1995.
Yeah. Have a conversation. We'll have signs everywhere. It's just a bunch of like boomer shit. Have conversations. Oh, they would love Get it. Off your phone.
And then you're behind the counter on your phone because.
Just watch a TikTok probably. Because like three people probably come in a day.
I feel like it could work. I feel like we're about ready, especially if Netflix like all of a sudden folds. Video rental places, first of all, Tubi's going to love it. But video rental places are going
to
go wild.
Then you just have to compete with Redbox.
Yeah.
But Redbox does not have old movies.
That's true.
That's if you're getting the old people. You've got to have the old movies. So
yeah, they love
You can't get Ace Ventura, Pet Detective on Redbox.
No.
But you can get it here at Josh and Tosh's video store.
Josh and Tosh Video.
Working title.
I would go there. I would love that. Do you want to go watch Heir Apparent Part 2?
Yeah.
All right.
Thundercats! Ho! And we're back, and we just finished Heir Apparent.
It's over, and the show's over. And spoilers, they kill the Master, I think.
How many times is this season going to end before it's over? I think 3 is going to be the total. I think we got like another run of regular episodes and then the real finale.
Yeah. And to be fair, I do really like that because there is a big part of me that loves a good 3-act structure. and they separated this season into 3 bits with these weird finales that are just like 10 and 20 episodes in. But
I did take a script writing class.
Yeah.
But like, so who cares?
It was a long time ago.
My question is this a good 3-act structure? Or is each act in the overall story its own 3-act structure?
The trick is that everything is 3 acts all the way down.
Right.
So the whole season is 3 acts. Each act is 3 acts. Each one of those acts is 3 acts. Each episode is 3 acts. Every line of dialogue, if you get really dorky in the weeds, is kind of in 3 acts.
This is why I don't write or tell stories.
It's hard. I used to be, I don't know if I was good at it before, because every time I try, I get less confident that I used to be good at it, and I used to not know that I was bad at it, which maybe is better in some ways, but anyway. But yeah, I think broadly speaking, it's like a solid, for the season, the act structure is good, because it does just have a nice little, like, here's a break, and then the thing it leads to is the next act in like a decent way. It's weird because Power Rangers never does that.
Right.
Because like the last time there was a finale before the finale was like Mighty Morphin when it ended in Doomsday. And then they're like, it's popular. Let's do 20 more right now.
Let's make sure the Oysterizer is the last thing that these kids get to see.
And then we end on the Oysterizer and we're like, okay. And the episode's literally like, and we beat the Oysterizer. Anyways, did Zach get a date? And then the season is over. But yeah, the episode itself is a little weird. But
I have thoughts about what happens and just the general feelings about a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, I have a podcast to do about
that's
it.
That's the whole point, yeah. It would be weird if you're like, got nothing to say about this one.
Well, this one happened.
Pretty in and out.
See you guys next time.
That's, I feel like some of the Neo Saban era is going to get pretty like, well, the episode ended.
I just, a lot of probably Samurai and Megaforce is just going to start with...
I'm worried that Megaforce, there will be nothing to talk about because every character is just a different bar of soap. To the point where, like, there was a little while ago, we were trying to remember everyone's names and we're like, who's the blue one? Who the hell was even the blue guy?
Noah.
It's Noah, yeah. But, at the time, I was like, I don't know. But, like, Samurai, I hear, is, like, also just bad, like, bad, bad. So yeah. That will probably be easier to talk about than just, like, a boring... empty glass of milk.
Yeah, I would rather talk about a bad season that tries than just like, yeah, a glass of milk.
Yeah.
It's like, yep, that one was a little warmer than the last one.
This one was not as warm as the last one. Anyway, we can do 7 of these a week now because we just crank them out. HeyJakeandJosh.com, that's the website. You can go there, listen to old episodes up through Wild Force, including the Bobos. There's also the archive feed, which is everything up through like halfway through SPD. Thanks to Sizzle, who is on Twitter at DarkDataTRC, I believe. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at MorphinGrid. I almost said AmorphinGrid, but that would just give you the wrong place to go. So, and now that Elon bought it, who knows what's going to happen over there. Everyone's like, a lot of people are like, I'm leaving. And I'm like, no, I didn't. Why? Like the people who owned it before. I don't care who owns it now, honestly.
Yeah, it's not... I'm not going to say it's not going to be different because that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
But like,
we'll see whatever. What happens.
It's still going to be a bunch of people yelling about people they made up and then like a bunch of other people just like calling them out on it. And then a bunch of other people just yelling in general.
Yeah. And like, what are they going to do? What's he going to do? Bring Nazis back? They never got rid of him in the first place. Like, also Elon Musk, I don't know if anyone knows this. That guy's dumb as a stump. He might accidentally fix things. Like that could happen, that he's like, I'm going to do this cool thing. And we're like, we actually did like that one. You didn't mean it this way, but so I'm hopeful. Anyway,
he'll put the edit button on and be like, look, I did the thing. Do you guys like me, Elon Musk, yet?
Do you like me yet? Please? I spent $43 billion on Twitter. Please like me. And we're like, no, we will never do that. The edit button, I feel like, is the actual worst idea possible. unless you can see a version history. Because
that's all, I mean, that's what Facebook did. That's all you need to do is just put a little link that's like, it says edited, and you can click on that and you can see the edit history.
Because like the big example that I saw is someone being like, some account just being like, trans rights. And then you're like, I agree with that. And you retweet it, and then they edit to be like, here's some transphobic nonsense. And now a bunch of people have retweeted that, and that's bad. So that's why I think the edit button is not as good as everyone wants. I know, like, oh, you messed up as typo. I don't even see typos anymore.
I just leave them. I used to delete and retype. Now I just leave it. I'm like, you know I was trying to say were, and my phone just hates that.
Yeah. The only time I will delete is if, like, if I catch it in under 1 second, I'll just copy and delete it and then fix it. Or if, like, I miss a word that is very important to the, like, if I missed not, because that change, that's the opposite then of what you meant to say. But I don't even see typos anymore a lot of the time. I can't even tell. We're on Wapple Podcasts. We're on Google Play.
That's a wet ass podcast. We're on wet ass
podcast. And Stitcher, Google Play, and all those, and wet ass podcasts. Macaroni in a pot, Josh. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/ Hey Jake and Josh. For as little as a dollar a month, you can help support the show, especially because soon we're going to be changing it to Hey Cobb and Shua. And that'll be fun for everybody. We really appreciate your support. I think this is technically a Friday episode. Let me see if we have any new patrons. I know I talked about it, but I don't think it made it into the episode. But I did talk about how somebody did sign me up for a pregnancy tracker, right?
Yeah, yeah. How's that going?
Well, 7 weeks and 4 days. Pretty good. I feel like they named the baby, so I don't know if somebody is using this or not. But it just emails me instead of them.
Are you on like a CC list for some reason?
It's to me, to my email exclusively at noreply@ovuline.com. But I could have sworn the other day.
That's so weird.
Oh, the baby has a name. The baby does have a name. So now I'm emotionally invested.
They're updating it, but still not receiving the updates.
I guess.
Maybe they can check it online?
Probably. Here's the thing. I got an offer for a free breast pump the other day.
Take it? You could flip that on eBay for a couple bucks.
I was thinking, like, what if I do that and then just be like, does anyone need a free breast pump? Because I have no use for it.
I do not.
I'm not going to.
Despite what you may have heard.
Despite what TikTok thinks. I can't use it. But the baby's name is Rivera, which is very pretty, I think. So they have little tiny fingies and toes forming now at 7 weeks and 4 days. So that's just my fake imaginary baby update. I don't know who did this to me. I just started getting them. And I didn't block it right away, and now I'm emotionally invested, so.
Your email is like gmail.com, right?
Yeah, I am going to bleep it out so I don't put my personal email on the internet, yeah, but yeah, it's but easy like, enough to figure out.
That's really stupid.
And it's so very like, stupid, yeah.
Like the fact that it's like one letter off from somebody else's, maybe, and that's why you're getting these baby updates.
Maybe. There's also, like, that means someone else had the same dumb idea that I did.
Yeah.
I also, like, if you put a dot in your Gmail account, like, it doesn't matter. Like, that's just for you.
I have one in mind, too. I didn't realize that it was aesthetic only.
Yeah, same. So maybe somebody just missed, like, it was like, and they just forgot the S and sent it to me, and since the dot doesn't count, you know? Anyway.
What if this is, like, an alternate timeline? Use baby.
Well. That would that's
so
look,
for
I
some
already,
reason your email has crossed the streams.
Crossed the streams. I got my email got Mandela affected into this universe. Maybe look. All I'm saying is that I hope baby Rivera grows up big and strong.
What's the? I know the answer to this is just a bad memory. What's the opposite of the Mandela effect, where you don't remember things that are real?
Bad memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love Mandela effect TikTok. I hate it. It's annoying. But every time I am accidentally there, I'm just like, you're the sweetie, you're just dumb.
Like,
it's okay. The rest of us are just dumb too. You don't need to think you turn into a different universe.
Man, the people who take this Mandela effect thing like very seriously, their line of logic is like,
it's bananas.
It makes more sense to me that I, at some point in my life, slipped into an alternate dimension where the Berenstain Bears are the Berenstain Bears.
And the only difference so far.
That is more logical. That makes more logical sense to me than the fact that maybe I'm just wrong.
That maybe when I was five, I didn't know how to read very well.
Especially cursive.
Yeah. Also, like, the other part of it that gets me is that, like, no Mandela effect video or tweet is ever about one thing anymore, right? It's like, here's like seven things. Like, why would we all come into this one where the things are all like, how many times have you jumped universes? What's going on in all your original timelines? They keep shunting you over because the cornucopia is gone from the Fruit of the Loom and the Berenstain Bears, and Sinbad had a movie called Kazam. Like, that is just unreasonable, I think, at this point. You forgot because you were a kid. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember where you sat in kindergarten? No, you don't. Doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you were in a different universe because you sat in a different place. It's fine. I got distracted by my baby. We have a couple. Okay. First up is Tammy.
Thank you, Tammy.
And Crypt Empress.
Oh. Thank you, Crypt Empress.
This is a Crypt Keeper's wife, but she's not just another Crypt Keeper.
No. Well, I mean, if in fiction, right, the Crypt Keeper is like a gross, nasty skeleton, rotted man.
Right.
His wife is like smoking hot.
Is a babe. Yeah, a full on babe would have to be. Yeah. And then finally, Craig L.
Thank you, Craig.
And those are our new patrons. Thank you very much. While I'm here, maybe I might as well check emails. I don't think we have any. Nope. People still trying to get us to renew our Norton antivirus subscription or whatever this is.
Yeah, I can't renew something I've never had.
Can't do it. Doesn't exist. I'll pass it on to my baby Rivera. You want to jump in?
Yeah.
All right. We get a little previews. It ends in the same place where Lee and Bo is back. And I hate to admit it, but I do think he's actually a good actor.
He's not
which
bad.
Is nice.
There's a couple times where I'm like, you could have retaken that in a better way.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's necessarily on him, but
yeah,
that, you know.
But overall, he's pretty good.
Yeah. We start off with Udonna running up, hugging Lee and Bo, and she's like, you're back. And Nick immediately is like, this is a trap. That's Korak. He's going to kill us. That's his whole thing. He loves to kill us.
This is a Korak trick. But I'm not falling for it.
I know it's not a Korak trick because there's no honor in pranks.
Yeah.
And so I don't think he would do that, but
no, he is not
just
a deceiver. If he kills you, he wants you to know, like, he did that.
I did it to your face, and you have to be strong, but not too strong, but not too weak. Also,
it's a very fine line of, if he will kill you or not.
Yeah. And then, kind of out of nowhere, Mumra just says Lee and Bo survived, but Solaris Knight didn't.
And then it just cuts away from the big reveal from last episode.
Yeah, to Genji crawling out of the sand and sneezing up Daggeron. And he's like, oh, the things I do for this job.
Yeah,
and Daggeron's like, that was worse for me than you, I bet.
And Genji's like, yeah, probably.
You're probably right. And then he's like, how are we going to find the Rangers? We're trapped in this dimension of lost souls or whatever. And Daggeron's like, with the help of an old friend. And then we cut back to Mumra.
Yeah, so I'm thinking two things. I'm thinking, great, a new side character. That'll be...
Can't wait.
That'll be fun.
Or also, Phineas is going to backflip into this dimension and get him out of here.
I think Genji's funny this episode.
I loved Genji in the like battle at the end that he's
so
the ref for. It was really
so good.
Never thought I'd see the day that I enjoyed a Genji for longer than one line. So we come back to the Hell Pit, and Mumra's like, it's time to finish what I started. And he goes to blast Lee and Bo, who just, like, waves his hand and bounces it back. And then he says a spell and throws a gold spell seal on the ground, and it teleports them out of there. And then as they leave, it's just on Lili, and she's like, no one wants me to have friends of my own. Which is, like, very sad.
Well, it's that's kind of like a deep thing, because at first it was like, oh, these will, you can keep them, they'll be your pets.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's what she wanted. That's just how Necrolai interpreted it and like spit it back.
Yeah,
she genuinely likes those people.
Yeah,
I think Lily's gonna end up saving the day. I think they're gonna be in trouble. Lily's gonna have to have the face turn.
Gotta.
And she's gonna drop the big leg on Necrolai.
Can't wait. Can't wait for her to stone cold stun Necrolai. DTA. DTL, don't trust Lily if you're a bad guy. I feel like we can trust her. Cause in the last episode when she was like, zombies down here don't have souls. And like Necrolai's like, yeah, you can keep them as pets, but it definitely felt like I want someone to talk to. Like, yeah. I want someone I can hang out with.
And it like, also is like, it seems like Lily does have like a soul.
Yeah, I still am not sure that she is born of a vampire.
Yeah,
because she has not displayed an ounce of mystical ability or spookiness at all, except for when she was started cosplaying Lady Deets. Like,
right,
that's about as spooky as it gets. So the Rangers are now in another, he says they're in another dimension, and they're like, we'll be safe here for a little while. And everyone's confused, except Nick, who's still like, no, this is a trap. You've spent the last several months trying to kill us. I do not buy it.
Yeah, I was about to say that Nick was like, he keeps trying to kill us, but then you said it. So,
oh, sorry.
Nick is like mad about this.
Yeah.
He's like, no, you guys, this man.
The same guy
has literally been in my head telling us to fight on the beach for 4 months now.
He also is like, because Udonna's like, I trust him, and it's like, you just want to get, you just miss your husband's
she's
dick.
So like, horny, and she's so stupid.
Yeah, she is full on like boner drunk at this point.
she is so weird. And like to the point where I'm uncomfortable with the way she's talking to people in this episode.
The end of this episode gets like Stepford-y.
She's delusional.
Like, it's weird.
It is wild.
So she is like, I trust him. And I feel like, I don't know if this is now or later, but Nick's like, do you remember when you tried to kill your wife and you took her magic staff? Like the first thing you did? And he's like, yeah. I do. It sucked that I did all that. I do remember the bad stuff.
This is pretty good though, because he's like, you know, I was trapped in hell, and the master just like turned me into Korag with his dark power.
Yeah.
And then Chip is like, so you didn't remember anything then, but you remember everything now. Please explain, because that makes no sense. And then he does. He's like, well, I think when I ate up the virus off the Megazord,
yeah,
it started to eat away at the memory spell.
Yeah, which is pretty good. he basically just tells them like exactly what happened. It was like, I went to hell. I threw the master in the hole. I body slammed under the giant, and then he dragged me down into body slam town.
Yeah,
so
we get to see the master, who I thought it was going to be like a big nasty dragon or something.
No, dragons are good guys though.
Yeah, this is a kraken.
This
basically.
Is a kraken. This is like a. You know when people are like, I drew a hyper-realistic Pokemon, it's like, this is just a gross Poliwhirl, right?
This is Tentacruel.
It's like, it's not even, it's like, this is Octillery, but if it was real.
Right.
Like, it's just, it's like a big octopus kraken, but it's mostly a big head and angry eyeballs.
Yeah, and I think all of its tentacles are mouths?
They might have some
mouths
on them.
They might not be mouths, but they're jaws, if that makes
yeah.
any sense.
It does. Nick's like, okay, you did still try to kill us like every week, and then he's like, yeah, I don't
Sorry.
Know if there's any way for you to forgive me. And I was like, I forgive him. Oh, and then like faints.
This part two. She's like, oh god, oh Lianbo. And he's like, Udonna, my lovely wife. And she's like, I used a dark spell, and now I have no magic, and now I'm just as feeble and vulnerable as a regular human person.
She lost her magic from doing the dark spell that all it did was teleport her to the underworld. That's all. Feel like that shouldn't have that kind of consequence, but alas. And the way that they show this is that now she has, like, the consumption. Like, now she has like a Victorian wasting disease. And that she's just tired all the time
now. She explains it by saying, like, I'm just a normal person now. And you know how weak and dying they all are.
Yeah, you know. You know how normal people.
I'm laying on my couch with my sore feet, barely able to walk, and I'm like, I think maybe she's right.
She's not wrong.
Maybe I should try to get some magic.
I've been coughing for a full month now, so, like, maybe you're onto something. We cut back to, we don't cut anywhere. Mumra finds them. He shows up. He's like, aha, I got you. And he shows up with his album cover of Necroli and the Chimera. And the sky turns dark. And it's day for night, and it's gloomy, and they're like, it's time to die. And he's like, no. And and Liambo tries to morph, but he, like, can't. He's like, gets like a little red electric blast. He's like, oh no. And then the Rangers are like, we're going to morph then.
I think that was something from the Master. Cause I think it cuts to the Master's eye for like 1 second, and there's just like a deep groan. And then it cuts back, and Liambo is like, oh, the red lightning's got my temples.
Can't do anything. So the Rangers morph. They start to fight. The Chimera comes up and just starts, like, beating them up because he's the conglomeration of every soul Liambo ever killed all in one. And then as he's about to, I guess, like, murder the Power Rangers, it looks pretty bad. They're all on the ground. He's about to do a big bad Beetleborg to them. And through a portal comes Daggeron on a unicorn.
Uh-huh.
So that's neat. And he hits Chimera with the unicorn so hard he flies away. No, he shoots him, I think.
Oh, I don't actually remember what happened.
I don't remember what happened. There's a part later where I just straight up was like, I guess something happened. I'm not sure what. So he shows up. I think Mumra and Necroli leave, but I'm not sure. No, they don't leave yet. Necroli dipped when Daggeron showed back up. She's like, too rich for my blood.
This isn't when she takes Liambo?
Yes, no, you're right. This is when she takes Liambo to hell.
Liambo's like paralyzed by master magic or whatever, and Necroli is like, hey, you have a date. Not with me, but with the master.
You got a date with the master hole, which now has tentacles coming out of it, so...
I don't think we can talk about this.
The waters are getting choppier. Daggeron, I think he shoots Chimera back, and then he lands, he jumps off his unicorn. He's like, this is my cool unicorn friend. Unicorn's named Bright Star, and can travel through any dimension. Also, it can be part of your Megazord. I'm going to go. And he runs over to fight Mumra.
Yeah.
And they're just like, yeah, obviously, we understood everything you just said. Cool, cool, cool. And then I can't tell what happened, but Mumra and Daggeron face off. Some sort of magic is going on, and all the Power Rangers, Bright Star, and the Chimera disappear from the world. Also, at some point, I feel like Liambo sent Udonna back to Root Core. Is that now or is that later?
I think that's now. It's when she's fainted, and she's like, oh, I'm weak. And he's like, I'm going to send you to Root Core. And she was like, no, I can't lose you again. I think as the bad guys show up is when he sends her back.
Yes, okay, yeah. Because then she, like, lands in Rootcore, and she's like, oh! And Claire's like, Udonna!
She's like, Claire, oh! I'm just a damsel now.
She's got turbo vapors, and she can't even stand up anymore. So then the Rangers are in new places, but Mumra and Daggeron are still there, and Mumra challenges him to a bound battle. From the start of the last episode, I think.
Yeah, he's like, you love Liambo so much, then why don't you honor his name by fighting me in a bound battle?
Texas bull rope match right now.
And immediately I was like, Imperius is going to use magic.
He's going to cheat.
Come on.
Yeah. And then Daggeron's like, absolutely, I will do that. Let's go. So they teleport somewhere.
They
I think that's a little bit later.
They teleport to the chessboard dimension.
They're on the chessboard. I think that's a little bit. It's like in a minute, but. They're just gone. And then we cut back to Necroli, who brings Liambo to the master hole, where the master just turns him back into Korhag right away.
Yeah, he looks down the hole and he's like, you have no control over me anymore. And the master is like, yeah, I do. It just turns him right back.
And he's like, whoop. And then he's like, master, what do you want? I'll do whatever you command. I was like, well, that was quick. Then we cut to the chessboard dimension, where Genji is Judge Mills Lane. And he's
when we first get there, and it's like Imperius and Daggeron. Genji pops up in the middle and is like, hey, it's Genji.
It's me. You remember me?
It was so funny. I had to pause it because I was laughing too hard.
And then he like does a full on like introduction. He's like, in the red corner, it's Daggeron, the Solaris Knight Daggeron. In the blue corner, it's that piece of shit Trainer Mumra. It's actually very good. Where's this Genji bet? You know? So they start the bound battle. They get chained to each other, and they start fighting. And we cut away from there pretty quickly.
If the chain is magic, because Genji just puts it, like, magic wishes it onto them.
Yeah.
Is that against the rules? It's magic.
Well, I think it's he's the ref, right? So okay, it's sort of like outside the realm. But you would think that this would prevent them from using magic in some way. Like, that's what the chain would do.
It's just a chain. Maybe he just teleported it in from somewhere.
Yeah, because, and maybe that is what happens, because, like, as we'll see later, like, he does use Genji specifically, which is weird, but we'll get there in a minute.
Yeah.
So we go back to the Rangers, and Nick's like, I can't believe Lee and Bo is Korag, and then he's gone again already, I think, is what Nick's saying. I don't remember.
Nick is like, I hate that guy. That's it.
That's all. Trust him.
That's all he says the whole episode.
Chimera grows from, like, the woods near them and just grows to giant size. And Nick's like, I gotta go kill it. And they're like, we can't use our legendary Zords. And he's like, we do have other Zords still, though, if you'll recall.
Yeah, he's...
Then he hops on Brightstar.
But he says, like, maybe you guys can't use the legendary Zords, but I can make a Brightstar Zord.
Yeah.
But it's like, you guys could have made your regular Megazord. Like, it's not dead.
They just hate it now. So he hops on Brightstar, runs through a portal, turns into the Titan mode, where he's Big Red Zord on Brightstar Megazord, which is not just a repaint of Catastros, I don't think.
No, I think it's very different. Because it's got the long mane, and, like, I think the horn is the sword.
Yeah. And it's, like, sharper.
Is Catastros just a horse?
Catastros is just a...
Is Catastros just a horse? I think so, because then you turn into a centaur.
Right, with it, and now he's a uni Zord.
Yeah, this is unicorn.
So he does the same thing, though, but where he, like, jumps and Brightstar does a handstand and he jumps inside of it, and then now he's in Unititan mode or whatever he calls it. And then he's like, I'm going to kill you, Chimera.
It's like a Phoenix, Red Phoenix Unizord or something.
Yeah, something like that. But it's basically like the same deal as when you're in the Centaurus mode.
Yeah.
But now it's like a white Zord instead of a black Zord, and it's a little bit sharper, I feel like.
Yeah.
Also, do you remember, I don't think they were ever in the show, but do you remember the Power Ranger toys that were the unicorn motorcycles?
I vaguely remember seeing this, but that might have been in our toy episode. Did we look at it in that?
We might have. Because I had them, and they were, I cannot remember. I doubt they were in the show.
The unicycle sounds like a thing.
Well, it's because that is a thing. A unicycle is a thing.
Maybe that's it. But they had well, those are shark cycles. They had
shark cycles in, I think, season 3?
Yeah, because I think they had those around the same time as the metallic armor.
Yeah, maybe they had the unicorn cycles in season 2, because that feels like that would match up with everything. They might
have. I don't remember any cycles in season 2.
If they didn't, it was unicorn dirt bikes, and they are rad as hell, and I would watch Unicorn Dirt Bikers the show. I would make that show too, Hasbro, if you want to get at me, or anybody really, except Netflix. You seem like you're going through it right now. Maybe hold off. Also, they just fired their head of animation and children's programming because, like, they needed to do something to look like they still had power, I guess. I don't know. So he's in Unizord mode, and the other Rangers are a dragon. They fly in and they all talk at the same time, which is a thing we joked about a couple episodes, that they're like, we're going to do that now. And it is kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't like it.
That they're a hive mind.
Also, it's like, hey, Nick, we still can do this.
It is still a thing we can do. And he's like, I have a horse now. I don't need you.
I mean, in theory, they all could have a horse.
They could, but they never will.
He didn't say, Daggeron, when he got off of Brightstar, didn't say, hey, Nick, your Zord can combine with this. He said, to everyone, it can combine with your Megazord.
Yeah, which I thought it was going to be like, they're in Megazord mode, now they have a cool horse
situation. Now they have a horse hoodie. Yeah.
Yeah. Horse hoodie? would be pretty cool.
Unipants.
Instead, it's a snowsuit that Nick gets to wear and nobody else. I would love to see Vita in it because her Zord is much smaller. So I would like to see how that would work out.
Yeah.
Or like Xander's would put it on and it'd be like a t-shirt and shorts made out of unicorn. So then the Chimera grabs the dragon by the tail and like slams it on the ground, just like rug beats it on the ground so hard that they all pop out and demorph. And then Nick starts to fight them. I'm trying to figure out what the order of events is. So Chimera's like, "You're just like Lee and Bo," and Nick's like, "No, I'm not.
I'm nothing like him." They get really heavy-handed with this.
Yup.
Because then Korag shows up in his Centaurus Megazord or whatever it's called, and is like, "Fight me, Nick."
Yeah.
And Nick is like, "Hang on, gotta kill this weirdo."
So when Korag shows up, I was taking the note that Nick was saying, I'm not like Lee and Bo at all. There's nothing about him that's like in any part of me at all. Don't even think that. And I hear Korag say, like, get back up or something like that. And I look up and we're in a different scene. And I was like, who is Korag talking to? I have no clue. I thought he was talking to the Rangers.
Yeah, it's because the Chimera just like knocked Nick down. And then Korag pops in and is like, get up.
Get up. So we cut to Root Core, where Claire is like tending to Udonna, and she sees that Korag is back, and she's like, "He's lost forever. He's Korag again."
She staggers over to the viewing globe, which is like at this point, like, I'll show you this part.
Do you want a video this time instead of just clouds you have to interpret?
And she's like, "Oh, my husband and my magic. I've lost everything." She's like, "Everything is lost."
Everything is gone. And Claire's like, "Get over yourself, lady. Like,
lay down.
Come on. Drink some juice or something.
I've already dumped the wine down the toilet."
Yeah, no more adult juice. Just regular juice for you from now on. So we cut back to Nick, who does say, like, hold on 1 second, gotta kill Chimera, and then kills Chimera with a unicorn attack.
Just, like, flies up in the air and is like, final strike, and just dive bombs and blows it up.
Stabs him through the whole body, and he dies.
From the top down, just like, you're dead.
And he's like, all right, Korag, now it's time for us to fight. And Korag's not like, well, you've already been fighting. This is just not. He's like, hell yeah, now we can fight. We cut back to the Bound fight, where they are fighting more.
They're fighting while bound, if you could
boundly
believe it.
And we cut away from there after they're done. They're still fighting. They're still in the midst of it. We cut away from there.
Oh, we should point out that they're in their like legendary mystic modes. So it's not
the ancient forms.
Yeah, it's not Imperius versus the Solaris Knight. It's like ancient deity Daggeron versus Kalendor the Great or whatever.
Yeah. He can't be lightning because we did see a yellow ranger. So, like, what is Kalendor?
Sharp. It's like a lot of spikes.
He's the god of knives.
Thorns, maybe.
Maybe. Because he's, like, yellow and blue. But, like, I don't think he's lightning. But also, when he transforms into the Kalendor ancient form, he has a different voice. Like, it's a different voice actor and everything, which is really cool. And they do a really cool thing in a minute with that. So we cut back to the tentacles coming out of the master hole. Normal stuff here on Power Rangers Mystic Force today.
Don't Google it.
Don't look it up.
Do not Google tentacles in the master hole.
Certainly don't. Kids, do not Google that. I guess he has the legend. He did get the legendary power from, like, I know Udonna like cut the, she like broke the stream, but like
that was before they died, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So then we cut back to Korag and Nick fighting so hard that they fall out of their horses and they're on the ground, but they are still morphed. I guess Korag's just regular because this is how he comes. But Nick is still morphed. They start fighting. The other Power Rangers just watch. Unmorphed, just hanging out far enough away to not get hurt. And they're like, this is going on.
And Xander is like, wow, what an even match. It's like they can predict what the other one is going to do. Like, they're connected in more than just a fight.
And again, we all know what's going on. But if you were 10 years old watching this and you were like, I think that Nick is Korag's son and Liam Bo's son and Jonas, then like, when they reveal that, yes, that is true, you were like, I'm the smartest 10-year-old on the planet Earth. Like, but if you're an adult or have, you know, above average reasoning skills for a 10-year-old, you're like, yeah, duh, this was happening right now. I probably would have fallen for it. I also famously was tricked by three people in Power Ranger outfits at Pizza Haven saying that they were Power Rangers. And when I asked where the others were.
This aired in, what, 2006?
Yes.
So I'm already 20. Like,
oh, God, you're so old. I was, when this aired, I would be 17. I would have just turned 17.
I think you would have got it.
Oh, yeah, no, but I'm saying if I was like Power Rangers age watching it.
Yeah.
Because like I went to Pizza Haven and there was Billy, Tommy, and Kim there. And I was like, where's Jason, Trini, and Zach? And Billy said there was a monster that they had to go fight. So we could still come here, but they're taking care of that. And I was like, everything checks out. Absolutely. I 100% believe you, Billy, the Power Ranger here in Ringe, New Hampshire. At Pizza Haven.
in Athol, Massachusetts, there is an annual carnival. I don't think it still comes through the town, but it was always during like the rat race, the carnival would come to town.
Yeah.
And the river rat race, for anyone not from
Yeah,
Athol,
explain that
Orange,
to people who are just worried about there being a town where rats take over for a little while.
Yeah, the river rat race is the dumbest local tradition in which a bunch of dads from Athol and Orange get in canoes and they race up the filthy Miller's River from Athol to Orange.
Yeah.
And it is the biggest event in town. Both towns shut down for the weekend.
Yeah.
And the carnival comes to town. And when I was a kid with a mullet, I met the Red Ranger. Uh-huh. I was like, hell yeah, Jason's here.
Yeah.
I high-fived him, took a picture. Got it framed in like some stupid $1 million bill, like paper frame.
Yeah.
Looking at it as like a teenager, even, uh-huh. I was like, this is like a mascot version of the Red Ranger.
The head on that Red Ranger is enormous.
It's so big.
Did you ever put a picture of that up?
I don't think I did. I think it's buried in the closet, the actual like photo. I don't know if I ever posted it or not, but it is like ridiculous.
It is. It's so funny because it's like the Professor Oak mascot that we did on PWTU, but a Power Ranger. Like, it's fully bananas. I don't have a picture of me with those three Power Rangers. They could have looked exactly the same. This could have been that weekend, and the Jason one was in Athol, and the other three were in Ringe. Like, fully bananas what kids will buy. But anyway, so there's something going on between Korag and Nick. Who can say what it is, though? They're such an even match. Korag knocks Nick's sword out of his hand, and he's like, you lost your sword. Go get it.
Go pick it up. I don't fight an unarmed opponent. And Nick is like, hell yeah.
He's like,
just
all right.
Goes and gets it.
The way he says it, he's like, all right, I will then. And he just gets it. And it's very funny because it's very dramatic, but doesn't need to be.
And then I thought for a minute, because Korag is like, you're too angry. Yeah. I'm going to leave and not fight you anymore because you're so mad.
You need to learn to control your emotions.
But instead he's like fathering him.
Yeah, he's like, you need to control your emotions or something. And Nick's like, why did you kill us every time? You could have killed us. And he just doesn't say anything. And we cut over to the other Rangers match.
I'm so mad you left me alive. I didn't ask for this.
Dad, oops, sorry. I didn't mean to call you that. And then we cut over to the other Rangers. And Madison's like, I know why. It's because there's still some good in him. I think it's Chip's like, yeah, that's the Lee and Bo part of him. Okay. Probably. You're probably right. So then we cut back to the bound battle, and Mumra cheats, puts Genji in the lamp.
Is Daggeron about to, like, defeat him?
I think
something?
He's about to do, like, the killing blow, yeah.
Yeah, so he's about to, like, drop the sword on him.
Yeah.
And he just grabs, not with his hand, but, like, with magic, just grabs Genji, stuffs him in the lamp, pulls the lamp over.
Yeah.
It puts it like in the way of the sword. And his little head pops out. I was like, no,
don't kill me. And then he uses Genji to blast Daggeron. And so maybe he couldn't use magic unless he used Genji to do it. But he did use magic to put Genji in the lamp. So that theory's also out.
Yeah. And then either Genji or Daggeron is like, you cheated. He's like, yeah, no sh-.
He's like, duh, I'm up. Look at me.
I'm the bad guy.
what did you think was going to happen? And Daggeron's like, I can't believe this. He's like, yeah, you idiots with your honor. And Daggeron's like, I'd rather die with honor than live without it.
I'm literally a traitor.
I'd rather die with honor than live without it. And Mumra's like, okay. And then starts shooting him with that black lightning again.
I think Mumra and Nick have a lot more in common than Korak.
Yeah.
Because they're both like, yeah, whatever.
Look, he might be Kalendor. Well, he can't be Kalendor. Well, we have to talk about how the fact that, like, Nick is not white and
both his parents.
Like, that's why I thought Daggeron was going to be his dad, because John Tui is, I think he's Tongan. So, like,
I was like, with his hair styled like that, and he's got a very similar shape face to Haku.
So here's a fun story.
Face shape.
I knew what you meant. He plays either, I don't remember if it's Afa or Sika, on the Young Rock show.
Oh, really?
Like, he is like a main character. Like, he is one of the Rock's uncles. I think he's off whichever one is Roman Reigns' dad. I cannot remember at this time. But he plays him. He's not Samoan like they are, but he's Tongan like Haku is. And they just introduced Haku, and he, like, on Twitter or on Instagram, like, congratulated the guy playing Haku on being, because he's like, everyone wanted me to play Haku, so you got, like, also that's you got some big shoes to fill, guy. But I feel like John Tui would have been a kick-ass Meng.
Yeah,
that would have been pretty great. But he's been on the show the whole time, so he's, you know, I feel like it worked out for him,
right?
I want to watch the show just because I want to see how they set up they did a WrestleMania angle between Rock and Roman Reigns on Young Rock's TV show. Like, they set it up where they're watching.
I think I've seen a clip where, like, young Roman Reigns is like, acknowledge me.
He grabs the young, like, teenage Rock, and he's like, we got to fight. And he's like, no, not right now. He's like, acknowledge me, points to the camera. And then it freeze frames and goes, that's my cousin Joe. You might know him as Roman Reigns. And then it lists all the championships he's won on the side. And, like, in a SmackDown, like, Matt Facts thing. Yeah. Like, and then back in the show, Young Rock. That's probably why it's called Young Rock and not Kid Rock, now probably, I think about it. He says to his cousin Joe, a match that big can only take place at WrestleMania.
Hey, look, he needs someone to fight next year because there's, like, nobody left.
Unless Cody Rhodes takes it.
I just don't believe he's going to beat him, though. Like, he might be the next one that works up to contender, but I don't think Cody Rhodes is going to beat him.
I feel like Cody Rhodes absolutely should win one of the titles, but...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's... They also, like, Roman Reigns has all of it now.
And don't the Usos have...
The tags.
All the tag titles?
I don't know if they have all of them.
Didn't they do a unification? Or maybe they're doing a unification of Backlash.
That might be.
But, like, last time they did this, like, 6 months later, you just split them apart again. So, like...
I just want Roman Reigns to hold both titles for the next 7 years.
As long as he possibly can.
Just beat Sammartino's record.
Yeah, that would be so good.
Because, like, everyone's like, oh, you can never do that now. I'm like, let Roman be the guy.
Yeah, just do it, you know? Like... He's got time left in him. He's not, like, old. He's cool. He's a good wrestler. Let him do it. Just see how long it goes. So then, so he tries to kill Daggeron, and Daggeron decides that he doesn't want to be killed, and so he kills Mumra instead by doing some cool sword parkour.
He does, like, a solar slash or something. Like a
he's an unmorphed, sun, too, by the way. So it's like John Tui emoting, which is really good.
Imperius is like, dies. He's like, you defeated me, but that's going to make everything more evil.
Something worse is coming, I bet.
Yeah. just like when you killed Boycout before.
And the funny thing is, I went, oh, it's the master. And the episode's like, well, no, hold on. Not just yet. So then we cut to Udana, who's basically despondent and would like to pass away because Leonbo's gone. There's nothing to believe in anymore. And Claire's like, what are you talking? You told me. And this is something that a Power Rangers writer would write. And Jackie, God bless. I love you, but not your best work. It's something a Power Rangers writer would write that, like, they think makes sense. But if you do think about it, it's very stupid and not as cool as it should be.
Yeah.
Because she said, Udonna, you told me that as long as you believe in magic, anything is possible. And like, okay, but also magic is magic and it's real in this world.
Yeah, I hate this.
So
Udonna's like laying on the thing and she's cold, waiting for the cold embrace of death.
She just wants like the cold grip of death to take her away to the afterlife.
And Claire is like, here, put this little blankie on.
And then she has flashes of a baby and Lee and Bone. She's like, where'd you get this blanket? And Claire's like, I got it out of Nick's backpack. I'm sure he wouldn't mind. And then Udonna's like, there's a reason to live!
Yeah, she hops up off the couch. She's like running out the door. Claire's like, Udonna, what happened? And she just turns around and she's like, Claire, I believe in magic! And runs out the door. And then Claire's like, oh, yay!
It is so corny.
Big cheesy. It's so bad.
This is like the cheesiest possible version of the end of A Christmas Carol, where it's like, you boy, what day is it? It's Christmas, so there's time. Go buy a goose. Like, Udonna's like, there's a reason to live. My boy is alive. And like runs out. It's like, okay, Udonna. So then we.
Meanwhile, her husband's about to kill her son.
do a boy-icide. I don't know what that is.
So he knocks. He hits Nick really hard.
Yeah.
Is this the like mid-air spin kick?
He does. I think he does a wolf attack, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. He wolf attacks him, and it knocks him out of his. Ranger suit.
Yeah.
And so Nick is just like laying there on the ground. And Korak comes up, holds his sword up, and is like, you have proven yourself to be a worthy opponent. So I will make your death swift.
Nadai.
He says death.
He does. He does say it.
He says basically, I will kill you now.
This comes after two separate instances of Nick saying, he tried to destroy us. He tried to destroy Udonna. You tried to destroy everything. Like, saying destroyed so much that, like, you know he's not going to say kill or murder, right?
Yeah.
And then here's Korag, like, you will have a death. Death will become you. Yeah.
A swift and honorable death.
So the Rangers finally decide maybe we should intervene now that he's going to cut Nick's head off. And they're running down the hill. And then Udonna just pops into frame, which is like, wait, that's your son. And Nick's like, what the fuck?
And Korag is like, what? And he puts sheathes his sword. And I'm like, no, you're still the evil guy.
No, he couldn't. It's not honorable to murder your son. Even he's got to suss this out first, see if it's real. So Korag's like, my son? Udonna's like, this is Bowen. It's truly magical that he's back or something like that. And then Korag, being like, my boy, turns back into Lee and Bo. That was easy.
Just, yeah. Through the willpower of and magic of the heart, he's like, I will be a good man again.
He also believes in magic, a thing that's real in the universe.
I thought he was like, I'm Lee and Bo, but like, I morph into Korag still. Like, I'm still a little bad, but like, I'm
still
fighting
the wolf
it.
Yeah, but like... No. So, and Udonna's like, I'm your mom and this is your dad, and I knew there was a reason you came to Briarwood. And Nick's just like, yeah, okay. Sure.
I think they want us to believe like Nick is being too high-headed, right? And like,
right.
I don't think Nick is ever wrong in this episode.
Not usually, no. At the end, he is, I feel like, going to be wrong, but currently he is not, if that makes any sense. We'll get there very shortly. So the ground rumbles, tentacles pop out, and the Rangers are like, Vita specifically is like, let's go. Let's kick tentacle monster's ass. And then Liam Bo's like, no, and casts a little glitter spell on them, and they freeze in place. And he's like, I'm Master Chief, and I gotta finish the fight.
This is my battle.
He turns into ancient mystic mode fire demon ranger.
Yeah.
And he's like, Ducky's gonna have to wait. And he goes to do you remember that commercial? Am I the only one who thinks about that commercial?
I think you might be.
There was a commercial when I think Mike Tyson was coming back to boxing. It's a Evander Holyfield, who Mike Tyson bit the ear off of, famously, is blowing up a ducky floaty in a pool for his kid, and he stops because he sees that Mike Tyson's coming back to boxing. And his kid's like, or it's his kid or his grandkid is like, the ducky, and he goes, Ducky's gonna have to wait. And leaves.
Daddy's gonna go beat Mike Tyson's
Daddy's
ass.
Gonna get an ear back. And that's what I think about Ducky's gonna have to wait every day of my life. So he goes mystic mode, and he pulls up a shield, and the tentacle that does have jaws but not a mouth, which I feel like explains it perfectly if you understand it, he blocks it, and then he just basically flies and pushes it down the hole.
Yeah, he's just, like, with his shield out, just, like, stuffing it back down into the hole.
And he pushes it all the way back into the hell pit, where he says, I summon the power of good magic.
Okay. When did this get so corny?
It got. This is the cheesiest episode, and I don't want to put this on Jackie. I feel like this was an edict that, like, Bruce Kalish was like, you gotta really let them know that this is good magic, and magic is wonderful and powerful.
He couldn't say anything like, I summoned the power of the light, or anything. It's just, no, because
good magic.
Because back when the good magic was gone, it was like, the world is overtaken with the darkness.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. We can't have, like, the lightness on this one now.
Nope. So he then says, Mystic Force Fire Strike, and he fire strikes the master, and the master dies or goes back in the hole, and the hell pit. Maybe this is the hole he was in to begin with.
I think so.
Because it's sort of like a cell block area. It, like, collapses in, and Lian Bo is dead, but before he dies, he goes, Power Rangers! Carry on my legacy.
Do we also see it, like, collapse on Necroli?
I think she gets out.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
Lili is, we just are not going to see until she shows back up.
Yeah. So the hole closes. It's really weird because these little snowflakes come out, and that's their legendary warrior power, but it doesn't feel like that at all.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. Where's Udonna's staff? They mentioned it, and she had it.
It's gone. It's stuck in the hole.
It's caved in. Yeah,
she'll get it back in the last episode and be able to morph and use her powers again. Because,
like, she's the White Snow Ranger in, like, what, two episodes?
The first two episodes, yeah, and then kind of, like, sort of in the Gatekeeper, I think.
So it's super weird to me that, like, she's the Mystic Force representative in the Battle for the Grid video game.
Very strange.
Because she's,
I mean, on the upside, it's not Nick.
Yeah,
right?
And, like, it's a very Sixth Ranger heavy game, and I think it was Benny on the Discord was like, well, that's because, like, silhouettes are a big deal for fighting games.
Yeah,
and so that makes sense. But, like, I don't know, Daggeron's here and actually an active Power Ranger for the season, so
he cuts a pretty good silhouette. Also, like, Power Rangers, I feel like, are not meant for a fighting game, so it doesn't matter if it, like, you don't need to follow the same rules.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't be making a fighting game anyway with Power Rangers, but here you are. Also, isn't, like, the first fight, like, Jason versus Kim, and she has range and you don't? Like,
yeah, it's not good. I hate fighting games. I think they are too much up their own ass about how technical they need to be, and it really pisses me off. Also, that game on easy mode, we'll be doing, like, 20 plus hit combos on your ass.
That's the bummer. My favorite fighting game is Bio Freaks, which is a bad fighting game, but a fun game to play because of that.
I like playing Mortal Kombat on easy.
On easy, not against other people.
Or possibly medium if I do want to not just completely win.
Right. So they get their legendary powers back, and the Rangers go, these are our legendary powers, they're back. Okay, thanks. So we go to commercial, and we come back, and we're at Root Core, and Daggeron's like, it's not over yet. There's going to be things that are coming, and it's like Lian Bo said, and Nick's like, hold on, why are you talking about him like he's my dad? Like, he might be my father, but he spent the last 4 months trying to murder me.
He says to Daggeron, like, you're talking about him like he's someone I should care about, but I've only known him for 20 minutes of my life.
Yeah. Him being my dad has been the last 6 minutes, and that's it.
Also,
like,
Nick has been overloaded with information within the last hour. Like, give the man a time to breathe.
I hope the next episode starts with Madison sitting him down and be like, do you want to talk? Yeah. Like, are you okay? Hey, there's a lot coming at you, but,
Nick,
like,
Are you okay?
Are you good, man? But everybody is, especially Udonna, in 1 second, is just like, hey, here's this information. This is your life now, and you better just be okay with it. And it's bad. It's not good. So
it's like they replaced Udonna with Katie Siegel from Smart House.
Yes! Yes! She is Smart House. So he's saying, like, he's been trying to destroy the world, like, every day for, like, 5 months. And that's all I've been – that's how I know him. Not as, like, my dad.
Yeah.
And then Udonna, like, interrupts and is like, Bowen, not his name.
Mm-hmm.
Not his name. And she's like, I thought I told you to clean this place up. And he's like, so you're my mom now and I have charge? She's like, yep. And Daggeron leaves. Good call.
He's an adult man.
It's like, is he though?
I think so. I think Nick, I would put him at like 20.
I would say he's 20 because they say specifically 19 years ago is when the battle was, and he looked to be not a year old yet, but like,
and it's like
a bigger baby.
First of all, Udonna is mentally broken. She's gone.
She snapped. Yeah, absolutely.
So like, I understand what she thinks is happening.
Yeah.
But Nick should just be like, hey, I'm 20 years old. He's mentioned his adoptive parents before and how much he loves them.
He loves his adopted parents, and he has a sister.
And it's like, you know, I'm happy I found you. This is a lot to take in.
We got to ease into you giving me chores.
You don't get to just be my mother now, though.
Yeah.
Like,
fully bananas situation going on. And then she's like, just because she's in full mom mode, she's just like, no, I need this place clean before Leonbo comes back, and walks away. And Nick's like, you know he's dead. I don't think he's coming back. And she goes, hey, and this is, I did like this, but it is still like Udonna has cracked, and this is,
well, she says
her
it,
trying to hold the pieces together.
She says, like, you can almost see her eye twitching as she is just like really forcing herself to stay positive. And she's got this like blank smile expression, and she says it super flat.
Stepford. And she's like, I would have thought that 2 days ago as well. But you're back, and Lee and Bo is back, and so magic works in ways that's not just spells and wands, and I have to trust in it and believe in magic.
Yeah. She's like, including magic of the heart.
And so he'll come back to me and us, and so go clean the room.
This is like a horror movie.
It ends on her, like, now go clean your room, and smiling like a Coraline's mother in the bad world. Like, and then the episode ends, and I'm very worried for Nick.
Nick does, like, when she's like, now go clean the room. He does smile. He's like, all right, you need this right now, so I will go clean the room. But
he calls
also
her,
like,
he calls her mom too, and I was like, you're that doing also, that for her.
Yeah, and it was like, that didn't feel right. I don't think I like this new dynamic, and I really want it to go away.
It feels yucky. It feels a little yucky.
It's triggering my fight or flight.
And then that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
So, Josh, you started.
Yeah.
I get to pick the first best. I'm not sure. I kind of want to give it to the Bound battle.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of there too.
Because, like, there was some good stuff, but I think that was, like, good character stuff. There's also a moment where he turns from Kalendor back into Imperius, and, like, the voice changes mid-word, like, from, like, the Prince Charming Kalendor voice. Like, you can hear the mullet into, like, his mummy voice.
Yeah.
And it's very cool. So I think that's my best.
I did really like the, hey, it's Genji, here's the rules.
Yeah. And, like, in this corner, the traitor.
Like, that disgusting, stupid mummy idiot.
This horrible jerk.
I'm going to give it to the Bound battle.
Okay. The worst is, I have to say, it's the, like, you're my son now, and we're going to pretend that we've been like this for 20 years, despite your mental and emotional health at this point. Yeah, it just is so weird.
I think I want to just give it entirely to Udonna for the whole episode.
That's also, I'm gonna give it specifically to the relationship thing, but, like, you're not wrong.
Nothing she does in this is, like, good for anybody.
especially, and like, I know some people are going to argue that like her being emotionally like wrecked like makes sense, and it does
make sense,
but it's so weird the execution of it that it feels like something yucky's happening and I don't like it.
Yeah,
like, mom, come pick me up, I want to go home. But then Udonna would try to pick me up and be like, I'm your mom now.
I'm
and I would be like,
mom.
No,
you're going to go home and clean your room and we're going to wait for dad,
who's dead. And he'll be back any day now. Okay. Yeah. I guess.
He Jesus died in Christ. My arms, but he'll be back.
Oh no. MVP is Nick for keeping it together. I feel like
he's doing his best. I'm also going to MVP Nick.
He also, like you said, like, nothing he says is wrong in this.
Yeah,
and
I also think it's like, it's a good foil to Udonna, because he's like, he's not maybe completely gone off to the point of like safe space delusion that Udonna's in.
Yeah.
But he's also like breaking. But his is just manifesting as like anger and like, and frustration, which I think is also like very realistic.
Pretty reasonable, yeah. And now we have to rank the two-parter. There was a moment before we, because I'm pulling it up, but before we get there, there was a moment when the snowflakes come out of the master hole and goes back to the Power Rangers that I had this vision of the very end where they transform into their ancient mystic versions and just got super hyped at a thing that probably will not happen.
Probably not, no. I don't think we'll ever see Claire do anything cool again either. It's a damn
shame. She should be the new Snow Ranger. Give her the snow power. Ugh.
That would be so good.
That'd be so good. Because
Udonna can't use magic anymore because she did a dark spell.
She did a dark spell just to go downstairs, and now she's not allowed to do magic anymore. She had like a 55-point potion with like components and measures and everything, and it's just to go to hell for a minute, and now you can never do magic again.
But the bad guys make portals to hell all the time.
Leonbo made one out of hell pretty easily. Feel like that should work two ways.
I feel like
he
probably could have done that the whole time, but instead he waited to be turned into a bad guy.
Where are you thinking on this one?
Is this better than Catastros? Legendary Catastros.
That's when Nick went to the horse hell dimension.
And he made a horse friend.
He made a horse friend, and then the next episode is like, I've never seen that horse in my life.
Yeah, I will have to kill the horse.
I feel like it's better than that.
Okay, I don't think it's better than the premiere, though.
I don't think it's better than the opener. There was some good stuff in this one, but I feel like overall, especially the end, really, it's just like, I feel like I just watched the first half of a horror movie. You know, and like it just got weird. So coming in at number 11, what is it called? Heir Apparent. That cannot be how you spell it. It's not. I was close. I have a real problem with E's and A's at the end of words, like sentence. I never know which one to put, and it's always wrong. And I don't remember which is the right one at any given time. So thank God for spell check. Do you still got the next episode pulled up?
I do. Yeah.
What's it called?
The Light.
That's cheating.
The one after that is The Hunter. So,
okay. What?
Well, episode 599 is The Snow Prince. It's three words. The Snow Prince.
Okay, hold on. Let me consult this. That's three words. Yeah.
If you're counting the, which you have in three episode titles here, because The Return is episode 30.
And The Gatekeeper.
The Gatekeeper. Why not just The Prince?
Yeah. Or Snow Prince.
Or Snow Prince.
I think Claire is going to be on that episode.
Okay.
Claire Mulcairn. Not Claire. I hope the
Antonia
character
Preble,
is in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was on Cameo the other day, just looking around, see who's there, and Antonia Preble is on there, and she seems delightful. So I guess we will see you next time for The Light.
Yeah.
But until then,
may the power protect you. Yeah.
And then every once in a while, they'd be like, here's an ad for Joe Bogus podcast experience. And I was like, I'd rather die. I wouldn't listen to that show with my worst enemy's ears. What are you, why would you do this to me, TikTok? I thought we had something special.
You thought TikTok.
What?
You thought TikTok was Leon Bo, but really it was Korag.
It was Korag. It was, we thought it was Leon Talk, but it's really Korag.
Tick and Bo, but it's Talk Egg.
Have we done a worse joke on? Good thing this wasn't on the show.